The invocation will be given by the Episcopal Chaplain of Washington and Lee University, the Reverend Thomas Brown. Please rise.
Let us pray. O God of our fathers, to whom men ascribe power, might, and dominion, in whose name we entrust the authority of government, whom we acknowledge, however briefly, half-heartedly, or mockingly, in these days as Lord of all economic, social, and political life, give us wisdom to grasp both the folly and the import of the actions that are taken at this convention. To those who here choose, and those who are finally chosen for the governing of the affairs of men, grant the sure knowledge that power which is exercised in denial of thy judgment, justice, and love cannot long endure. In this knowledge, unite us all in the struggle for justice and peace for all men everywhere. Amen.
Before proceeding further, we are privileged tonight to have with us a representative of the Scranton organization who has arrived this evening, Mr. Chuck Hamilton. One announcement. Because of his duties in the Congress of the United States, the Honorable Frank C. Osmers, Jr., Congressman from New Jersey, will not be able to be with us tonight. Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests, fellow Republicans. This evening, you'll be hearing the speeches for the many candidates seeking the nomination of this convention. We are called upon to pick one man to lead our party to victory. However, lest we lose perspective in our quest for the candidate, it's proper that we should remind ourselves that within the ranks of the Republican congressmen may be found the most astute, dedicated, and competent members of the Congress of the United States. Our speaker tonight represents the quality of leadership which Republicans have maintained regardless of what party occupies the White House. A man of broad learning, industrious labor, and himself a well-respected veteran of many legislative battles in the House of Representatives, Congressman Abner Seibel of Connecticut's 4th Congressional District is one of the Republican Party's finest representatives. Although born in New York, Representative Seibel has lived most of his life in Norwalk, Connecticut. Where he is a senior partner in the law firm of Seibel, Heffern, and Griffin. Following his service as prosecuting attorney and corporation counsel for the city of Norwalk, he was elected to the state legislature in 1957, and on his re-election became minority leader. Mr. Seibel was elected to the 87th Congress from Connecticut's 4th District and was re-elected to the 88th Congress. He is a member of the House Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee and the Subcommittee on Transportation and Aeronautics. Indeed, tonight when we seek to determine the man to carry our party forward, we as a party can boast proudly of the leadership of the Republican Party in Congress and of the record of and respect for one of its finest representatives. Fellow delegates, I am privileged to present to you the Honorable Abner W. Seibel from Connecticut.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished guests, delegates to this great convention, it's a great privilege for a Republican from Democratic Connecticut to come to Republican Virginia. Until now, I wondered what in the hell Walter Judd talked so long for. Now I'm beginning to get a pretty good idea. The last thing you need, and the last thing anybody ever needs, is another speech from a congressman. But I did want to say a few things before we get on to the main order of business, which is the nominating speeches tonight. I come from a state which is probably one of the few states in this year of 1964 which doesn't have a candidate for president. And so we like to think that our 16 delegates are going to swing the tide. I just wish I knew what they were going to do. This marvelous spirit, and I know that the spirit which you show here tonight is felt throughout the nation, this marvelous spirit and demonstration of understanding and enthusiasm for our great institutions, one of which is a national political convention, is something which is most heartening to me, and I'm sure to all of us who have, in one way or another, been working in the political arena in recent years. I'm going to give you a few reasons why I think this convention, as a prelude to the convention in San Francisco in July, is particularly important. I come to you from a Congress whose president has announced that we now have 120 foreign policies, one for each nation in the world, none of which know what the other 119 are doing. I come to you from a city where the Rose Garden and the photographers have replaced the councils. I come to you from the city where our leadership now is involved with an image-making procedure which is so important and has such precedence that everything, even the affairs of the nation, must take second place. This is a most important convention that you are dedicating yourself to, because it is your responsibility not only to nominate a candidate, but to nominate the man who will have the major responsibility of leading the free world for the next 4 years. I want to say to you that you in a very real sense here at Washington and Lee may be making more of a contribution to the determination of who that will be than you might realize. Because one thing is clear, despite all the claims and despite all the counterclaims and despite all the delegates and despite all the polls and despite all the write-ins, the only thing that is certain tonight is that nobody knows who's going to be nominated in San Francisco. So, I mean nobody except you. Hey. So, we're all watching you with a great deal of interest, not only because of this tremendous, enthusiastic outpouring of vigor, we can use that word now, but because we are looking for guidance, those of us who we're going to have to vote in another 2 months. We're looking for your judgment, not because we will necessarily follow it, but because we just might. And I would say to you, too, that I'm impressed as I've discussed your approach to the responsibilities you have as delegates. I'm impressed with the way you have been able to subordinate what may be some personal feelings for the responsibilities which you carry as delegates. Because you have to represent the great rank and file of the Republican Party from your states, as well as give vent to your own personal opinions and judgments and emotions. And I understand this is exactly what you've been doing and are doing, and for this I congratulate you, because in a very real sense, in a very real sense, as I don't have to tell you, delegates to conventions occupy a role which has certain similarities to that which representatives in Congress have. And we have to be sure that we represent the people who sent us to wherever we have to cast our votes, and mix this with the best judgment that God has given us and the best control over our emotions which we're capable of. And when we mix this together, we come out with the right result. Now, I want to say this to you. The Republican Party, as represented by you people here tonight, and as represented by the people, the respective candidates which you support, is a rich party. We are a proud party, and we should be proud of all of the great candidates who are going to be placed in nomination tonight. And I would say this too. I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to finish very soon if you promise me one thing. I want this demonstration, regardless of who wins the nomination, I want it to be united. I want everybody on his feet cheering your nominee tomorrow when he is nominated. I want to say this. You've given me your answer, now I'll keep my end of the bargain and say just one more thing and then I'll finish. I want to say this. I heard a story the other day about the fellow who carried a list around in his pocket of the people he could whip. And as he'd walk up and down the street of his hometown and he'd see somebody on the list, he would go up to him and say, I've got a list here of the people I can whip and you're on it. And after the second or third time, he walked up to a fella and he said, I've got a list here of the people I can whip and you're on it. And the fella turned to him and said, you can't whip me, try it. And the fella said, no, I'll just scratch your name off the list. Now, this is not the way you're going to fight in this convention, and this is not the way the candidate and all of us who are behind him is going to fight after you choose him. We're going to go down the line. We all know that the American people changed their opinion. The polls right at this moment in May may indicate that we've got an uphill fight. Well, we know that the polls have indicated various things at various times for various candidates in our own party. And we know we can change them, and we're going to. So it doesn't matter what happens in May. Doesn't matter what happens in May, what happens in November is what counts, and it's going to be a great Republican victory, and I'm pleased to be with you, and I thank you.
I'd like at this time to announce the presence of Mr. Wine, the chairman of the 7th District in Virginia, Republican Party. Gentlemen, delegates, it's now time for us to get to the business at hand. I'd like to turn the chair over to Mr. Wyatt Durrett, the chairman of the Republican Party here at Washington Lee. Mr. Durrett.
Please come to order. The chair now recognizes the delegate and chairman of the state of Illinois, Mr. Jim DeYoung, chairman of the Committee on Credentials. Mr. Chairman, the Committee on Credentials met pursuant to the rules of this convention. No contests were presented to the Steering Committee or to the Credentials Committee. In certain states, technical changes were requested, and where in each instance there was no objection made by the member from the state or the Committee on Credentials, they were adopted and will be reflected in the permanent roll of the convention. I am authorized to make this report. I move its adoption, sir. Thank you.
You have heard the report of the Committee on Credentials, and its chairman has moved that the report be adopted. All those in favor of this motion, vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted. The chair now recognizes the chairman of the Committee on Rules and Order of Business, the delegate and chairman of the state of California, Mr. Jim Sylvester.
As chairman, of the Committee on Rules and Order of Business, I am authorized to report that the committee has recommended that this great convention adopt the same 33 rules as adopted by the Republican National Convention held in Chicago, Illinois, on July 25, 1960. I move that we adopt these said rules. Thank you.
I gotta have it, man.
Delegates for this convention, the chairman of the Committee on Rules and Order of Business has made the motion to adopt those same rules as passed by the Republican National Convention in 1960. All those in favor of this motion, vote aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. The next order of business will be the nomination of candidates for President of these United States.
Will the convention please come to order? 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 Will the delegates please be seated? Will the delegates please be seated so we may proceed with the nominations? Will the delegates please be seated so we may proceed with the nominations? Thank you. Before we proceed to these nominations, may I say to the delegates that under my interpretation of the rules, the chairman of each state delegation shall announce the determination of his state as to what its action shall be, and confine himself to such a report and shall not make remarks beyond that. Now the roll will be called by Mr. Andy Anderson, Chief Reading Clerk of the Convention. States? States that want to make a nomination will kindly indicate that fact when the roll is called. The Chief Reading Clerk will proceed with the calling of the roll. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, as instructed by you, I will call a roll by states. Alabama!
Attention of the delegates, please. Will the delegates please be seated? We would like to ask all of you to please refrain from yelling while the state chairmen are talking from the floor because they cannot possibly be heard. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, I will continue with the calling of the roll. Alaska! California has placed in nomination the name of Nelson Rockefeller. Colorado places in nomination the name Gordon Allett. Connecticut.
Thank you.
state of Connecticut yields to New Hampshire. Delaware!
Thank you.
Illinois places in nomination Barry Goldwater. Indiana. Indiana passes. Iowa. Iowa passes. Kansas. Kansas passes. Kentucky. Kentucky passes. Louisiana.
Mr. Chairman, Louisiana, the state with the most fanatical governors on record, passes.
Louisiana passes. Maine places in nomination Margaret Chase Smith. Massachusetts passes. Michigan.
Thank you.
Michigan places in nomination George Romney. Minnesota! Minnesota nominates Walter Judd. Mississippi! Mississippi passes. Missouri! Missouri passes. Montana passes. Nebraska! Nebraska passes. Nevada passes. New Hampshire. New Hampshire places in nomination Henry Cabot Lodge. New Jersey! New Jersey passes. New Mexico. Mexico passes. New York. New York passes. North Carolina. North Carolina passes. North